Do you all remember the name Stephen Covey? Stephen Covey wrote a book several years ago that sold millions and millions and millions of copies, over 40 million copies. Do you remember the name of it? The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. You've heard of it, right? The habits make sense. The first one is this one. Put first things first, right? So then you have to decide, well, what's the first thing? And you got to put that thing first. Covey took his show on the road, speaking to groups, leadership teams, conferences. And at one such conference, one such gathering, he said, the key to managing life is distinguishing between the urgent and the important. I'm going to say that again. The key to life is distinguishing between the urgent and the important. There's a difference, I guess. And here's the difference. This is what Stephen Covey says. Urgent matters clamor for our attention. They want it right now. Important matters shape our lives for a longer period of time. So imagine that if a phone call comes or a text arrives, it may be urgent, but is it important? There's the difference. Now, I want to say this to you today. If the call comes from God, choir, it's urgent and it's important. Can you sense the urgency in our scripture lesson for this morning? Matthew tells us that after the arrest of his cousin, John the Baptizer, Jesus goes out and preaches the same message that John was preaching, which was this message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. He preached that from his first day until his last day, and because he wanted that message to go on and on forever, he called 12 to be his closest friends and followers, and we call them the disciples. Matthew records the calling of four of those disciples in those verses that we read together just a few moments ago. Matthew says that Jesus was walking along the coastline of the Sea of Galilee when he saw two brothers, Simon, who is also called Peter, and his brother Andrew, who were casting nets into the water. To them, Jesus issued the call, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. For the first time, but not the last time in our lesson, Matthew uses the word immediately. Immediately. Say that with me. Immediately. Here, Matthew says that Simon and Andrew dropped their nets, left, and immediately follow Jesus. It was an urgent call. Amen? And it was important. With those two in tow, Jesus walks a little farther up the shoreline, and he sees two more fishermen. Their names were James and John. You know, the Zebedee boys. The Zebedee boys were with their father in the boat, mending the nets, getting ready for another day of fishing. Zebedee was proud. You know, those boys had said, Dad, I can't wait to get out of the Sea of Galilee. I can't wait to go away from home. I can't wait to see the world. But they said to him one day, Dad, we want to do what you do. And so they became partners in the fishing business. Don't you know Zeb was proud? Poked his chest out a little bit. Are y'all out there? He had a sign printed over the pier that said Zebedee and Sons Fishing Company. Oh, he loved it. And it was great until that itinerant preacher walked by one day and said, hey, James, hey, John, drop all that and follow me. And you know they did. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. Don't you know it was interesting when he got home and Miss Zebedee was there, four places at the dinner table, And she says, "Choir, where are the boys?" Well, you're not going to believe this story, but they left. This story creates a challenge for me, for you too, I hope. It makes you wonder, if Jesus walked by today and saw you doing whatever it is that you do on a Sunday afternoon, could you drop everything and follow him? Could you do it without talking to your spouse or your mom or your dad? Could you do it without checking in with work and saying, "Hey, I'm not going to be there tomorrow. I'm going to follow Jesus for a while"? Could you do it? In essence, that's what Simon and Andrew, James and John did. I want to point out three things about them. Is that okay? Here's the first. They had families. Simon and Andrew were brothers. And after they started following Jesus, they were still brothers, but they were following Jesus' brothers. James and John had a father named Zebedee. They were still sons, but they were also now children of God. Matthew wants you to know that they had families. Points that out. Second thing he wants us to know is they had jobs. All four were fishermen. They did that for a living. All four leave their nets, but they don't stop fishing. Now they fish for people. That's the second thing Matthew wants you to know. They had families and they had jobs. And the third thing is this. They immediately answered the call and started following. A journey that would lead them along the Sea of Galilee to places like Samaria and Capernaum and eventually to Jerusalem. So let me ask again. Could you do it? Could you do it? Will Willimon is a retired bishop of the United Methodist Church. He was at one time dean of the chapel at Duke University, which means he was the preacher for the university, and he preached on Sunday morning and had worship services for the students and the faculty. A lot of people came to hear Will preach. He preached one day on the call to follow Jesus, maybe using the scripture that I use today. I'm not sure about that. But there was a young lady who was listening to his sermon that day. She was in med school. She was a third generation, soon to be doctor, and she heard the sermon. And she called her dad after church and said, "Dad, I heard this powerful sermon today. I'm going to leave Duke for a little bit of time, and I'm going to move to Haiti, and I'm going to teach children in an orphanage." Dad was not happy. So Dad called the preacher. Tom, you remember getting those phone calls sometimes? Pastor Tom, you remember that? Get those phone calls sometime. He says, "What did you preach yesterday in the chapel at Duke?" And so he says, "Well, none of this would have happened if it weren't for your sermon." And Will said, "Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Did you have her baptized?" He says, "Well, yeah. When she was 3 months old, I brought her to the altar and we had her baptized." He says, "Okay. Did you take her to Sunday school?" He said, "Oh, yeah, she had perfect attendance for like 6 years in a row. She never missed Sunday school." He says, "Well, was she involved in church as a youth? Did she take Bible studies?" He says, "Well, yeah." He says, "Well, then this isn't all my fault. You're to blame too." He said, "We're Presbyterians. I just wanted her to be a good person." She heard a call. She responded to a call. The gospel can change your life. And sometimes sermons will help you do that. Now I want to say this. I want to say this. Following Jesus doesn't necessarily mean leaving med school. It doesn't mean leaving your hopes and your dreams and even following Jesus around for 3 years in places like Capernaum and Samaria. In Galilee. Often, we talk about those who go into the ministry. Have y'all heard that before? John went into the ministry as if it were something you went into. We put your picture up. So at my home church in Jackson, Tennessee, there's a board of all the pastors who had left those walls and gone into the ministry. My picture's there. My brother's picture's there too. We went into the ministry. Are y'all listening to me? Ministry is something that also goes into you. Amen? It's something that goes and gets into you. It doesn't mean necessarily you're going to be a preacher one day. It just means that ministry is important to you. Amen? I want it to be urgent. And I want it to be important to you. Our sermon today is the second of three in a series where we're talking about I Have Decided. The last time we had worship two Sundays ago, we talked about our baptisms. We talked about we have decided to be on that lifelong journey with God. From the moment that we realized God was in our life, all those days, we had decided to do that. Today, I want to ask you to decide to take following Jesus seriously. Will you? Will it be important to you? Will it be urgent? Max Lucado is one of my favorite Christian authors. He tells a time about a boy who was in his bedroom. His parents were in the den watching television when they heard that familiar thump. He had just fallen out of bed. Has that ever happened to you all? Anyone ever fallen out of bed? It's happened to me, which might explain a lot, actually. So his mother ran to him. His father close behind. She comforted him. She reached him. She hugged him. She kissed him. She put him back into bed. And she said, "Son, what happened?" He says, "I don't know. I guess I stayed too close to where I got in. I guess I stayed too close to where I got in." That's dangerous for sleeping tots. And it's dangerous for Christians, too, for us to stay close to where we got in. So Max asks, consider these questions. How is your prayer life compared to this time last year? Are you growing? Are you learning? How about your church loyalty and attendance? Is it better than it was last year? How about your giving? Is it joyfully that you give or grudgingly? Are you studying more? Are you growing more? Are you learning more? Those are great questions to ask. We can't stay too close to where we got in, amen? Because after a while, Noah and the ark, Jonah and the whale, is not enough to sustain our Christian walk. It's not enough. We need more. May I challenge you? May I challenge you? Will you tend to your spiritual life and your following of Jesus? Will you make your discipleship both urgent and important? If my math's right, September, October, November, December, January. This is the end of my fifth month with you. I hope God leaves me here a long time. Y'all can say amen or not. It doesn't matter. Amen. What I want in every church I have served, and in this church too, is to make discipleship stronger when I leave than when I came. And I hope that's a long time from now. Will you tend to your following of Jesus by studying? Right now on Sunday morning, we have three Sunday school classes that are going. Three. We got empty Sunday school rooms all over this place waiting for you to start a new class. If Sunday school may not be your thing, So we have life groups that meet throughout the week focusing on various things. There's a study on David going on right now, a new study that'll start soon. Women's groups, men's groups, youth groups, children's groups. I'd love for you to be a part of one of them. And you might say, well, preacher, being in a group's kind of not my thing. Well, okay. Do something on your own. You can go out by the office, and for 75 cents, or just take it. You can get an upper room. And you get your Bible in an upper room, and you've had a devotional. One of my New Year's resolutions, and I know it sounds a little crazy, was to study the Bible more. Because here's what happens with preachers. We look at the passage that we're preaching from, and that's it for that week. So I decided I wanted something different. I wanted to grow with you this year. So I have an app, and I have a notebook, and every day I open up that notebook and I open up that app, and I read the three lessons that are for the day. I've been reading the Psalms, Matthew's Gospel, and the stories in Genesis, and taking notes. And I want you to know, I'm only a day behind, and that's today, and I haven't gotten to it yet, but I will. And I can already tell that I'm growing from that. What I'm asking you to do this year is to decide to follow Jesus more closely. So closely that you could hear the flip and the flop of his sandal. That you could hear the word that he says to somebody as if that word was exactly just for you. I'm asking you, will you make your discipleship both urgent and important? And if you need help, call me. Call me, and I'll help you.